Rule 401 and 403 on relevance. Evidence is relevant if it has any tendency to make a fact more or less probable than it would be without the evidence. Hypo 1. In a prosecution for aggravated battery, a police officer testified that when he arrested the defendant, he took a knife from the defendant and delivered it to the medical examiner. The medical examiner testified that the knife blade was consistent with the victim's wound, but admitted on cross-examination that any number of other knives could have also have caused this wound. The question is, should the judge grant a motion to strike the medical examiner's testimony? The answer is yes, because the probative value is substantially outweighed by the danger of unfair prejudice. Federal Rule of Evidence 401. The first question in 401 is the evidence relevant? What kind of case are we in? What is the argument? Ask why the evidence is relevant. Federal Rule 403. Ask if the evidence unfairly prejudicial. You should not argue 403 in a bench trial, which means just a judge. You do not want to argue that the evidence is confusing or misleading. It is more likely that you will argue waste of time for a judge. What do you do when you lose your 403 objection, unfairly prejudicial? Here's an example. Say you say, objection, 403. And the judge says, overruled. You lost the objection and you were worried because the evidence will be used for improper purpose. Can you ask the judge to do anything else? Yes. You could ask the judge to limit the instruction. What rule supports a limited instruction? Federal Rule of Evidence 105. If the court admits evidence that is admissible against a party or for a purpose, but not against another party or for another purpose. Relevance rules with social policy implications. For policy reasons, these rules exist. The next federal rule of evidence, Rule 407, subsequent remedial measures. When measures are taken that would have made an earlier injury or harm less likely to occur, evidence of the subsequent measures is not admissible to prove the following. 1. Negligence. 2. Culpable conduct. 3. A defect in a product or its design. Or a need for a warning or instruction. However, the court may admit this evidence for another purpose. Another potential purpose that the court may admit a subsequent remedial measure evidence is for impeachment or, if disputed, proving ownership, control, or feasibility of precautionary measures. Let's do a hypo. There was a pothole on City Road. A driver got in an accident. The driver wanted a witness to testify that the city repaired the pothole the day after. Is the evidence admissible? The answer is the evidence is relevant and admissible. The evidence is relevant and admissible to demonstrate that defendant city had control over the streets. If the witness rejects a remedial measure in terms that are too strong, he disputes feasibility. Let's do another hypo. Say the plaintiff works for the railroad and is injured while helping to move rails to fix a portion of a broken track. Plaintiff says he was told to pull rails from a disorderly pile and he slips and hurts his back. Plaintiff sues the defendant railroad for negligence, claiming the railroad should have been more organized. In a memorandum, the rail sometimes have been left in disordered stacks in our yard. This presents an unnecessary risk to workers. From now on, the uniform policy of our railroad is to stack all rails in aligned rows. Will the memo be admissible? According to Rule 407, the memo will not be admissible because Rule 407, subsequent remedial measures, but maybe we're going to listen to very carefully and hope the manager may say something else. If at trial, the manager gets on the stand and says, "We have never had disordered rails in our yard," then we get excited because of impeachment. We can bring in the memo evidence because you are introducing it to show that the guy said two different things and he is not believable. He's a liar, but not for demonstrating the truth of either of the statements.